Hi, this is Tony Mowbray, and you're listening to Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast.
Probably the best introduction to the podcast we've ever had, I think you'd say, Rob Nichols.
Definitely. Mm. That's brilliant.
Yeah, I thought so. I mean, you know, I know for traditionalists, we still, of course, have...
From Middlesbrough to the world, this is Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast.
But for me...
Hi, this is Tony Mowbray, and you're listening to Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast.
We've even got the rocket ship going up there. You know, we're flying to the moon, quite literally, with Tony Mowbray. Yes. Yes, celebrate and rejoice. Good times are among us. And as I said to Mr. Mowbray in an interview, which is actually part of the Fly Me to the Moon Outside Broadcast podcast, which was the part of the M86 celebrations, which is our little summer special, a late summer special. But it actually has gone up there from that point of view. We were delighted to find that the Mowbray Unbeatables continue being unbeatable.
Absolutely.
2-0 against Peterborough. Two English goals to nil. Albeit one of them was scored by a Scotsman.
It was indeed, yeah.
It was great stuff from that point of view. And a good match, Rob.
Yeah, against a team that had just knocked Ipswich for 7. Mm. They had a long unbeaten record at home. I think they're scoring every game, don't they? And so we shut them out in the second half. After the first half, we went at them, gave them a bit of a fright. I think that for the second away match in a row, the opposition manager came on the radio afterwards and said, well, and, you know, we're beaten by the better team.
Well, he obviously learned from his father about the importance of acknowledging sort of that sort of
stuff.
Yeah,
and
Danny Coyne, back with us, and also did the business against Peterborough.
Oh, yeah, absolutely awesome double save. Mm. Bit like... I don't know. The only double save that springs to mind is Montgomery in the
Jim Montgomery, in the
cup final.
Yes.
But yeah, it was quite phenomenal. Point blank, two shots straight at him. Strong pair of hands, and great to come back in that way after pre-season, which was he must have been disappointed because he would have expected to be in the first team keeper now, but he's played two really good cup games, and that one was absolutely superb performance.
For our younger listener, Montgomery isn't referring to the Battle of El Alamein or indeed any desert ants. There was a keeper called Jim Montgomery who starred for Sunderland Football Club. Can't believe I said that on Fly Me to the Moon. But he played for them in a match against Leeds United. Also can't believe I said that on Fly Me to the Moon. In, I think, 1973.
Yeah, I think it was.
When he actually sort of produced this double save, one against Peter Lorimer.
That's right. And at the end of the match, of course... as much as I hate to go on, with Bob Stokoe ran across the pitch in his Mac and his hat and embraced Jim Montgomery, didn't he?
You don't get many managers running across the pitch in Macs and hats.
No, you don't.
And maybe it's because there's a sort of flasher connection there. You think, they want to go that side of things.
No.
Or perhaps the Armani suits wouldn't look quite as good, you know, that side of things. Anyway, it's issue 491. Coventry City, of course, the Flying to the Moon podcast companion heading up for this one of you. In the programme today, we'll be having a look at those wonderful Belgians. Yes, more than Hercule Poirot, more than the sheer wonderment of Tintin or Tintin. And the muscles from Brussels, of course, Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Oh, yes, don't forget.
We have got another famous Belgium who is coming on strong as far as Middlesbrough Football Club is concerned.
Absolutely.
And we talked about quality management. What other management could actually sort of, you know, select, you know, the ideal time to bring in two substitutions, both of whom actually score?
Yeah, that's right. Especially timely when you're down to one striker. If you can bring on midfield players...
And not bad goals either.
Oh, Malari Martins was an absolute screamer.
Esteban, writing in the fanzine Faris Haroun's Guide to Belgium, next year's top holiday destination for rah-rahs everywhere. Hi to all of my fans in Borough. What a ride it has been coming over and signing for you all on a 3-year contract. As Middlesbrough's first player from Belgium, I feel that I am an ambassador for my great country and have forgiven you all for Teesside Tintin.
Yes.
Mm. Perhaps Dean Wilkinson knows about that chap.
I think he does, actually.
Yeah, I would have thought so, etc. Because of this, I scored for you all on my own debut. You will now worship me like the god I am.
I don't know how he gets these interviews.
I'm very impressed with respect to that. I mean, it's quite extraordinary in terms of that. I mean, Ian goes on to talk about the great city of Brussels being fantastic, with many interesting sights to see, including several Starbucks outlets and several of what you refer to as McDonald's. Obviously, other eating establishments and coffee shops are available. I have to make that quite clear.
Probably, yeah.
We've sorted our way through from that point of view. We'll also be talking about Classical Borough. But let's have a little think back to the M86 project, for those people who haven't actually listened to our outside broadcast podcast from that point of view. Going extremely well, really. I mean, this is it wasn't quite the launch. I think we billed it as the launch, but it was the official opening of the Essen Park gates outside Middlesbrough Football Club.
Yeah, it was the official launch. Yeah. It often happens, doesn't it? Things start before the official launches, because it had to happen on that particular date, because it was exactly 25 years since
22nd of August.
Yep, since the gates were opened. Mm. And
or locked.
Well, it was actually since they were opened.
Did quite right, yes.
Yes, it was.
They were locked before.
Yeah. Well, actually, they weren't open, because it was they were kind of, but we weren't allowed to play. Mm. It was 37 minutes from liquidation and oblivion, and you think back now, and it was a strange time, because we were in the 80s, we're in a recession. Football was in a recession itself, because we're 4 years before the Tears of Gaza, which revived it all, and whatever happened with satellite deals and things like that. But football was definitely at a very low ebb. I think that's showed by the fact that when you look at when we're actually back in business, it takes a long time before we get actually a crowd that's over 10,000 to Essen Park. But what I would say, looking back, is that was very significant, not just for the football team, but for the whole area. And I think it could have been quite dire consequences for Teesside had we not had a football club.
It's rather like the classic cliche, you don't miss the things until they're actually gone.
No.
And as we're in the 21st century now, looking back, you can certainly say that sport, education, tourism and so on, those are the key areas, those are the driving industries of employment within the region, for a whole range of regions from that perspective. And yes, thinking back at the sort of Heysel disaster, the Hillsborough issue, right. The Bradford Stadium fire that sort of came through from that point of view, as you rightly say, there was a moment where I think people thought enough's enough, really, and football had to get its house in order, and obviously did. Some might say we went too far with respect to Sky Satellite and various other deals, etc., but that's a different point, etc.
It's a different game completely.
And clearly, you know, we'll be playing in the Premiership next season, so it's something to sort of just think about for that. Commented on the cover of issue 491, you've gone for mountaineering. With the line, thought it was going to be a deep summer. I thought initially when I saw that, you're talking about Rosebery Topping. And you're going out Kilimanjaro.
That's right, yes, I know, good link.
Yes, a little line from that sort of point of view. It's all working through from that. We've got letters as well, very interesting. We have no guests, and suddenly the letters have actually appeared.
It's unbelievable.
It's astounding from that point of view, but we're finding out that. And we'll also be finding out about the excitement that is a symphony concert, an orchestra that's taking place within that. Has Andrew Glover put something in to this particular issue again?
He hasn't.
I was thinking, there was I thinking, where's the Andrew Glover scenario from that point of view? You see, he's gone very quiet since they started winning, clearly.
I
just wonder, is he sort of sitting there sort of festering, saying, when they lose? No, it's not going to happen. Seems like only yesterday we were actually looking at the Portsmouth game, and I think I commented that by the time we reach Coventry, could be really happy or not. Third is a good healthy place to be at this stage in the season.
Yeah, I think and of course it's quite a significant after the game. It's quite a significant point, because we've got that international break and the transfer, the end of the transfer window. So the season certainly moves on into a different phase. Then I think it's quite strange.
Season of four quarters.
Yeah, but because of that break, I think it's quite bizarre. So many, especially Premier League teams, didn't put out such weakened teams for the League Cup. Mm. I don't understand it, because they haven't played many games. They've only got one more, and then they've got a week off. Mm. Seemed strange to me.
Well, I think the words of Mr. Warnock at Joey Barton's forthcoming club. I'm sure their marriage made in heaven, really. Joey Barton and Neil Warnock.
Yeah, yeah.
Genius from that point of view. And, of course, you have the wonderful Adele Tarapt as well there. Perhaps we should do a sort of a specialist sort of Fly Me to the Moon podcast focus on QPR. Maybe not. I don't know. I'm just thinking about fanzine workshops, etc., how to actually work through
it.
So I think
working it in, yeah.
Thought, yeah.
Clever.
Nicely put together. Mm. We're going to be talking about letters. We're going to be talking about fantastic events and a whole heap of other marvellous things in the companion podcast to issue 491, of course, the Coventry City podcast, after this.
Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast with Rob Nichols and friends.
I wanted to find out from a real solicitor what happens when you let your insurance company look after your car accident claim. So I spoke to Charles Ather of Ather & Co.
Insurance companies make money from selling your claim to their own legal people. If you want solicitors who you can speak to face-to-face, someone who worked to achieve the best possible offer of compensation, you're better off choosing someone you know.
Someone you know? That sounds familiar, Charles.
Choose the one you know, Ather & Co.
Call 01642 22575 or text ADVICE to 81400 now.
100 strokes affect 130,000 people in England and Wales each year. Here's a recipe that can dramatically decrease your chances of strokes.
Excellent. I better get a pen.
167 grams of calcium, 225
grams of magnesium. Hang on. I've got a pen, yeah.
There's a pen here
somewhere. Hang on. Slow down.
Hang on. What's the pen? Oh, it's a pen. And a tablespoon. Remember, any more than one tablespoon could kill you. Any less than one tablespoon could kill you.
Right, what was
and
the recipe?
That's the recipe.
Oh,
if
damn.
You would like a more simple solution,
oh,
then
right.
You can always call Pharma Nord on 01670 519989.
All right.
Or visit the website pharmanord.co.uk.
Let me see if I can jot that down. What was the number again?
01670 519989. Or visit the website pharmanord.co.uk.
And how do you spell Pharma Nord, I wonder?
pharmanord.co.uk.
It's almost as if I'm having a conversation with the radio.
Don't be silly, that's impossible.
Pharma Nord, winning the war of nutrition.
With over 80 ensuite bathrooms and high-quality care for residents, provided 24/7 by qualified nurses and carers, Roseville Care Centre provides the perfect home for residents' emotional, spiritual, social, physical and intellectual needs.
A purpose-built residential care facility in the heart of Ingleby Barwick. Roseville is a care centre which provides facilities to accommodate residential elderly, EMI and nursing service users, offering both short and long-stay accommodation, as well as respite and daycare.
To find out more, please telephone 01642 30 8188 or email us at info@rosevillecarecentre.com.
Roseville Care Centre. Care to call us home.
When you suffer a road accident that's not your fault, it's easy to be persuaded to go along with your insurer's recommendations. But I spoke to personal injury expert Charles Ather about that.
In my opinion, phrases like, you have free legal cover with this policy, are meaningless. If the accident wasn't your fault, you've nothing to pay anyway. I think what your insurer may mean is, but we've already sold your claim.
And if I don't want to be sold, can I choose my own solicitor?
Of course. It's your right to choose what's best for you.
Text claim to 81400 now.
I'm Ollie Brownlee, BBC T's Borough commentator, and you're listening to Rob Nichols on Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast.
So you see, I thought, should we leave that hanging about BBC? Obviously, you know, it's not Southside Broadcasting, but I thought, well, it is Alistair Brownlee.
It is.
You know.
Absolutely.
And other than that, he pretty much did it in one take, so I thought we'd leave it in, Rob.
I think you should.
There
yes.
we are. Yeah. Excellent. And, of course, Alistair, who I'm sure even though he said in the way that BBC commentators have to, oh, yeah, I listen to them. I don't think he does listen to this. You know, he would prove it, really. I mean, does he listen to these podcasts at all? It's just
I don't know.
Well, you know, so on. However, Middlesbrough Symphony set for world premiere. Under the line, even Barcelona can't top this. Borough's confident start to the season continues with an exclusive world premiere of the only classical music symphony ever dedicated to any single football club. We can thank David F. Golightly, no relation to Holly, in, of course, Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Think.
Well, it could be. Yeah. Mind you, Breakfast at Tiffany's was a fictional movie, David Golightly, based, of course, on a Scott Fitzgerald text, I think. So this was recorded back by the City of Prague Orchestra in 2000.
Yes, and it's going to be played out in the town hall The 2011-12
classical season celebrating the Transporter Bridge centenary, and it's being performed exclusively for the first time at Middlesbrough Town Hall by a specially extended Northern Sinfonia on Thursday, the 15th of September.
That's right, yes. So the only football team to have a symphony dedicated to it in the world.
Yeah, well, exactly. So David Gurlightly, former motor mechanic, switched to music full-time age 22 and has since enjoyed a busy 40-year classical career with his work performed as far afield. Performed. I don't know. There's that sort of moment where you think, what's going on here? Engage your brain. America, Germany, Poland and Russia.
He's big in Russia, apparently.
Well, it's better than big in Japan. It's a different line entirely from that point of view. So the symphony was initially born out of a desire to redress the cruelty of fate of the 1996-97 season, with the FA robbing Borough of 3 points, and of course the subsequent relegation led to the Tears of Juninho. We talked about the Tears of Gaza. Mm, yeah, we had the Tears
true.
Of Juninho. Yep. But since then it's become more a tribute to the individual of course being Steve Gibson, the inspiration behind the work, which is extraordinary from that point of view.
Mm.
So, don't think Charles Aymer ever had a symphony or even a ditty actually written for him.
He was a band leader, though, wasn't he?
There you see, this is the point.
There's a lot of music around.
Exactly.
Yes, he was a band leader for many years.
I think the campaign starts here, Rob, from the fanzine Fly Me to the Moon, Borough the Musical.
Mm. Mm.
So, thinking about that, it's worth working through. Let's go straight to the letter of the. I say the letter of the fanzine.
Really, yeah, well, point. It is the letter of the fanzine.
It is
letter of the season.
It is quite literally the letter of the season, as far as things are actually concerned, and as far as fanzines and various other bits and pieces are concerned. So it's all sorted out here, and I think what we'll do is we'll introduce it for the lucky person whose name is Stedon Surf.
Mm.
Not made up at all, though.
No.
It's all right. Stedon Surf. Well, Stedon Surf, you're going to have your letter rated in full force with the great man introducing it.
Hi, this is Tony Mowbray, and you're listening to Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast.
Dear Fly Me to the Moon, due to living away, I rarely get to games these days. Last one was a depressing and heartless draw under WGS. We Gordon Strachan. Just had to sort of put a little sign there.
That's right, yes. Mm.
But if ever there seems to be a time to be proud to be a Borough fan, it's now. While we are still conceding goals, we now seem to be able to stick them in the net at the other end too, something which has been lacking for far too long. I wasn't one of the ones who was against Mowbray's appointment, but I wasn't one of those who saw it as an instant road to decent football and was very much firmly on the fence. However, even the most cynical of supporters have to admit that what this guy has done so far has been nothing short of inspirational, and long may it continue. Stedon Surf.
Yes.
Hi, this is Tony Mowbray, and you're listening to Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast.
They'll never take away from the fact that Stedon Surf will have gone down in history as being the first person to have actually had Tony Mowbray bumpers introducing him, to use technical radio speak there.
Right,
introducing the whole thing and coming out of the whole thing, all sorts of doing that basis. Gareth Southgate is running with... Are you running in this 10K marathon? I know that we hope that Nick Billers, our work placement from Lancaster University and Whisper at Newcastle United supporter, might be taking part in the Finlay Cooper Fund. But will you be taking part yourself, Rob?
No, for the first time in a very long time, I won't be running because I'm supposed to be doing performing a concert in Berlin.
What?
Mm.
Oh, yeah. Is this a classical concert?
No.
I think there's a place in a classical symphony for you to come on with the horse's head. I think that would be good.
Yeah, that's true.
It's a different perspective. However, Gareth Southgate is going to be doing that, fitting it in between his duties for ITV Sport and presumably being FA Supremo in various ways. He will actually be running for the Finlay Cooper Fund, which is great news, really.
So, yes.
And I think, to be fair, you know, probably with what... I wonder, I mean, it's just I'm sort of... I wonder if he ever in the sort of makeup chairs at ITV Sport, because he regularly goes and co-presents with Gordon Strachan.
Yes.
Whether they actually sort of have they chew the fat about Middlesbrough Football Club and think, well, we sort of blew our opportunities there, really.
Well, I'm sure they do. Well, Gordon certainly blew his opportunity, didn't he? Obviously, we're talking about the race.
WSG.
Yes. WGS. Gordon actually raced in that last year, the 10K. I think he did a time of about 52 minutes, which wasn't too bad because he had an injury. I noticed Gareth Southgate's letting you into a few of his training secrets, and he's talking about trying to get in the mid-40s, which is very quick. Mm-hmm. He's done one marathon, but whether he can raise as much money as Gordon Strachan, who raised over £10,000 last year, that's another issue.
I still think WSG, as in, we slick it, Gordon.
Oh, of course, yeah.
We slick it, Gordon, as opposed to we Gordon Strachan. We slick it, Gordon, as in, timorous beastie. If nothing else, still great for comedy value. Maybe that was the whole point of Steve Gibson deciding to actually be on.
Maybe it was.
The negotiations with Keith Lamb. He saw, you know, Keith was saying, Steve, what we really need is a comedy figure.
Yeah.
Somebody who could actually sort of come up with a few cracks, etc., every so often. Unfortunately, it wasn't Gordon Strachan. Maybe they're looking for Robin Williams still.
Yeah, maybe.
Andy Thorne in charge of commentary. Let's look ahead to that. It is, of course.
Is that a comedy figure?
Could well be, ever since his days at Wimbledon, I believe. I'm fairly sure
he's
a tough tackling Wimbledon player
absolutely.
From that point of view. And
he's under pressure.
Yeah, I mean, they've never really threatened to get back to the Premiership since they were relegated.
I think going back to the decision to build a new stadium and to put everything... Do you remember they were trying to build a new Wembley? They competed, didn't they, to become the Wembley?
And
I don't know, they put all their eggs into that one basket. And
yet, curiously, Highfield Road under Jimmy Hill was the first ever all-seater First Division stadium.
It was, and then took some of the seats out, didn't they?
Yeah.
But, it was a city centre location. It was a fairly modern stadium. But like everywhere that people want to build a stadium with concourses, etc., and lots of different revenue streams. But you remember that they had that proud claim where they hadn't been relegated from the top flight for years and years and years. And then, as you say, once they were down, they've just never had a sniff. And they look in trouble this season.
And according to Scott Easby, of course, Coventry fans couldn't believe their eyes on the first game of the season as they suffered defeat for the first time in 10 years. And the person who was in charge the last time Coventry set out on a season of disaster is the same sort of chap who got them relegated in the same season. Does that make sense? I got confused.
I'm not sure. But I think it was Gordon Strachan was involved, was he not?
He was certainly involved, his early scenario, etc. Yes, indeed it was. Yes, indeed it was Gordon Strachan. Yes, I was just very fertile in the end. I wouldn't like to be a Sky Blue fan at this particular stage because I do think that they could have challenges, and I would say comfortably, possibly even 4-0.
Well,
I've said it there. I've rolled it out.
You have rolled it out. Let's just hope we can keep it going. Great thing last weekend was that we took the away form to the Riverside and we showed the home fans exactly how we play. And also the fact that we went 1-0 down and we were able to bounce back, which is that there was no sort of fear factor from going behind. And great that the midfield players could score the goals. We obviously need to get another striker in at some stage because you can't continue just with one striker. If you lose Emnes, you're in big trouble. But we'll go into the match on Saturday really confident. And, I agree. I think we will win.
We have a slight break now, a little hiatus until obviously we return ahead of the Ipswich Town game on September the 24th, and we'll hopefully be back on the 23rd, and of course Leicester City shortly there afterwards with Sven back.
If he's still there.
Could be quite interesting. But how do people actually subscribe to Fly Me to the Moon, the magazine, to get hold of this wonderful paper, treasured copy in person?
Good idea. If you've got the website, www.fmttm.com, or you could email me at robshrug@gmail.com or write to Fly Me to the Moon, Unit 7, Brentnell Centre, Jilks Street, Middlesbrough, TS15, A for Alan, P for Peacock.
So it's not Brentnell Street then anymore?
Well, to tell you the truth, I'm on this corner of the road. So we've got two doors.
See, this is it. It'll be all very confusing on that basis. Never mind. As I say, it's been our first Fly Me to the Moon without actually having a team of sort of eager folk for quite some time.
We talked, didn't we?
I think, you know,
we got there at the end.
We like to feel that, you know, in terms of that whole setup, etc., it's a podcast that's a marathon, not a sprint. And we do actually, we'll be looking for this, right. And then this time around, of course, if you'd like to this season actually vote for your favourite Fly Me to the Moon podcast, there'll be that opportunity, I think.
That's a good idea.
Season.
Yeah.
We can actually walk through that.
Yeah.
It's time for you to lead us in this wonderful scenario, which continues working. The Unbeatables, and as you say, the Mogganaut continues ever onwards. Rob, over to you.
Well, with no team, So I'll have to do it louder
myself.
We'll
do it together.
Yes.
Come on, Borough. And...
up the Borough!
Hi, this is Tony Mowbray, and you're listening to Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast.